I think in many cases, we always talk about hope. I hope it works out well. I hope the market sees my business for what it is. But, you know, my team always tell you always, and it's been quoted by many over the years, that hope isn't a strategy. And yes, there's always going to be a degree of the uncontrollable, but the more prepared you can be, the better. And, you know, if we play back my example where you've been doing this 5, 10, 20 years, let's just take 20 years as that example, and you play it back, why would you spend 15 years, 18 years, 19 years, 20 years, if you like, building the business, but then exiting after one, because you want to get out of this quickly. So you've been building a business for the last 20 or 30 years, and now this thing called the exit suddenly crops up. What do you do? It's a tough one because despite what a lot of business owners think, it's not something you think about towards the end of your legacy or what you've been building. It's something that you need to look at proactively. In many cases, it's a lot more complicated than most business owners think. And that's why I've created the M&A Exit Lab. I'm Andrew Ballman, founder of Deal Leaders International. I've been fortunate enough to work with hundreds of business owners over the years in unpacking what a good exit looks like and what a challenging exit looks like. What is critical is time. And it's to make sure that in whatever you look for, what that end game is going to look like, make sure you start early enough. This podcast is really designed for business owners, founders, as well as private equity and corporate professionals who, you know, looking to exit themselves. And I think the approach is really not overly polished. You'll see my style is hopefully a bit more chilled than conversational, but the intention is really to lift the hood, open up the Pandora's box, if you want, around what it takes to actually exit. If this sounds good, then join me and I look forward to our journey together. Hi there, and welcome to the first podcast in the M&A Exit Lab. And yeah, you will hopefully bear with me. It's the first time I'm doing this, and I'm used to speaking to someone on the other side of the camera in person. But I'm sure you'll find it interesting, and let's embark on this journey together. So, as I highlighted in the intro, I think the whole objective with the M&A Exit Lab and why I use the term lab is this isn't a one-directional communication flow, if you like. This is around insights and learnings and understanding what works and what doesn't work and playing around with the formulas, if you like, because in reality and what I've learned over the years, having worked on hundreds of deals with business owners and founders, is that there isn't a single recipe or one silver bullet that gets it all right. So let's take the first step and let's dive into the first topic that I thought was relevant. And you'll see in the format of this podcast, some will be one-on-one, myself chatting to you with some insights and learnings, some scars and t-shirts, if you like. And then we will have, you know, studio conversations, guests tapping into their expertise and experience and hopefully mix it up a little bit. But, you know, I think, as I mentioned, it is about, you know, getting proper insights and learnings and dealing with what works and what doesn't work, and for you to filter through all of that to kind of make it your own strategy and determine what that needs to look like. But the topic of this first episode is really, you know, rethinking M&A as a business owner and how M&A, if you like, and M&A being mergers and acquisitions, and probably one of those acronyms that are thrown around pretty loosely, but it's really around how can M&A, you know, form a critical part of growth. You know, I think we have been so programmed over the years as business owners that we start a business and we put in all the blood, sweat, and tears, and we grow it to a point, and at that stage we tackle the exit, and come hala high water, it either works well, doesn't work well, and the market perceives our business in a certain way and carries, you know, it carries value maybe differently to the way that we thought it would play out. But if you were to, you know, dial it back a little bit and from an M&A or exit perspective, how that feeds into a growth strategy, you know, if I were to say to you today, as a business owner, how are you going to grow your business? There's probably two ways you can do it. One is organic growth, slow and steady, dealing with the market dynamics and sometimes limited by your own resource, your own energy, the time frame you may have, and your appetite for risk. Because as you know, and you would have learned over the years, that risk is a big one. You know, there's, yes, you can create value, but as you kind of hit the back end of this journey? Do you want to take on more risk, and do you want to exit and grow aggressively or not? The flip side is probably venture capital, where if you wanted to start your business today and grow it quite aggressively, bring in aggressive funders, you know, sometimes with very expensive funding and really, really high targets, which isn't for most business owners. So you sit somewhere in between, and M&A, or the ability to leverage it, can be a very powerful tool to get where you want to get to eventually. And I'm going to unpack that in a little bit more detail, because if I were to say to you today as a business owner, when do you want to exit? And let's just assume for the sake of the story that it's 5 years time. And I always say to business owners, and I've probably had this conversation 100 times, why 5 years? Well, in, you know, the answer always is, well, in 5 years time, I'm going to double the size of my business, and then I'm going to be ready to get there. And so, okay, that's great. So for the sake of the example, let's just say that you're on 50 million turnover today, and you want to grow your business to 100 million in 5 years time. And you're pretty confident that you can get there. The rebuttal always is to say, okay, great, but why don't you get to 100 million in 3 years or in 5 years? Instead of it being 100 million, why don't you make it 500 million and then have a really, really big exit or liquidity event? And often you want to get stared at and say, well, it's not really possible because I've got X resources and this is the pace I'm prepared to tackle it at. The answer in that example would be, well, maybe you can find a strategic partner that can take a piece of your business today and can help you grow this business aggressively, because it's no longer a situation where you have 100% of something smaller. Maybe you take a smaller percentage of something significantly better. Because I think often what happens when we talk about exits is the challenge around what does an exit represent? And it's normally a monetary or value-driven transaction that is the only representation of what a business owner has actually built over the years. What a lot of clients that we've worked with have realized as well, that it's, yeah, maybe there's a value component to it, but you've got to take a step back and almost say, well, what are the resources and what is the true value and what does that value represent? Because when I spoke about value earlier, it's often monetary or, you know, some sort of exchange that represents what your business is worth. But in many cases, the value you need as a business owner as you embarking on this exit journey is a lot more than just money. In many cases, it's bandwidth. It's strategic insights and experience. And sometimes it's just somebody to talk to bounce ideas off, because I know I've been there over the years. And sometimes it's a very, very lonely journey. Who do you speak to? Who do you reach out to? Because sometimes your staff can't handle it. Sometimes your spouse or those around you aren't walking the same journey as you are. So it is creating that higher level insight and guidance and direction, if you like, for you to not have to do it on your own. And yes, it does help having maybe a partner that has deeper pockets than you, someone who's prepared to share the risk with you, to help you get there, help you get to some of those objectives. And it's a very, very difficult conversation to have and a very difficult thought process to go through, because a big element of taking that approach is bringing someone else into kind of the inner sanctum. And what does that look like? And, you know, as of today, you make all the decisions yourself. You don't have to fill out a leave form, and you have carte blanche in how your business runs. By bringing somebody in, now all of a sudden that dynamic changes. And is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? The critical element to do is take a step back and say, what does my timeline look like? Because at some stage, I'm going to want to sell my business. And by wanting to sell your business, you're going to have to embark on an exit strategy at some point in that future state. So the sooner you start, often the better. And, you know, a lot of the time when we execute transactions, and for us at Deal Leaders, we've had a great year having closed 8 deals in 10 months. You know, in many cases, we've always said, if only we could have gotten to our clients a little bit earlier, you know, to map out a more proactive exit strategy and help them find the right stepping stones and tools, if you like, to ultimately get to a point where, you know, they can exit successfully, or maybe more successfully, whatever that definition looks like, than they may have done. And I think that's the important part of the blueprint we want to start laying out on this journey, is what does that blueprint look like? Because the framework, if you like, or the infrastructure has a finite number of moving parts that as a business owner, you're going to want to tap into and measure against and the likes. And yes, maybe the inputs are slightly different for every, you know, each business owner on their own journey, but the framework is quite similar. And you'll see as we start unpacking what this framework looks like, it's quite big, it's quite complex. And more importantly, often your business is a little bit like an oil tanker. You can't turn it on a ticky. And that's an important element to consider because it does take time. Not only take time mapping it out, planning it and putting it into action, you've got to have results. So here's a good example. So you want to broaden your revenue streams to outside of your border. So we're based in South Africa and we want to start exporting into other parts of Africa. It's one thing saying that it's the plan. So if a buyer were to come to you today and say, look, Andrew, we're interested in buying Deal Leaders. You know, where's your growth going to come from? And I say, well, it's going to come from north of the border. And it's okay, great. Have you started? And if my response is no, then it's theory. And very seldom is somebody going to tap into that and pay value for that. If my objective was to sell on day one, however, if I knew that there was big opportunity north of the border and I realized that my own exit strategy was 5 years away, 10 years away, whatever it may be. And in order to increase, one, the attractiveness, and then secondly, the value of my business was I needed to get export revenue, but I can't get there on my own. If I made the decision to look for a strategic partner who may be there already or who could help me get there effectively, share the risk and make the pie that I'm building and will ultimately sell significantly bigger and better, well, then maybe that's a short-term consideration I need to make today to feed that ultimate exit strategy in the future. So that's a very simple example around what this looks like and probably a simple example about how, as a business owner, you need to reframe some of your thinking, because I've spoken about the buy side, I mean, the sell side. What happens if we now say, okay, great, as part of your exit strategy, I want to, Deal Leaders, expand my revenue streams outside of South Africa. So I want to look north to the border. Instead of selling a piece of my business to a strategic partner, potentially, do we consider buying somebody who's already there? So we're of a certain size and scale. Is there somebody in some part of Africa that we want to operate into who's already got those revenue streams? And instead of having to build it from scratch, can I buy a business or buy into a business that's going to give me that momentum and insights and learnings from the market? And if I can take what we've built and our codified approach and our experience and our resources and our people and channel that through that investment, if I were to buy into it, would that be a great enabler for me to grow this business more aggressively than I would today? And I don't know what the answers are, but you see, as we start unpacking this and start looking at different angles, you see M&A actually becomes a very important tool in the arsenal of successful business owners, because it's not only about you having to have one core business, stick to your knitting and get there in one place. It's around understanding what are your options, because as we embark on this journey, you'll see it is so dynamic and relative, if you like, around what attracts value. What is your business worth? Should you do this today or shouldn't you? What is the impact of the decisions you make today on the nature and type of buyer that may be out there in the next couple of years? A question is, well, I don't know, because you know, you kind of have to do a deep dive and understand those market dynamics. So for those of you that have either embarked on this journey before, or you're being bombarded by experts or advisors or your accountant, whatever it may be, you'll see it is not a one size fits all. And in most cases, unfortunately, opinion and theory can be very dangerous. And reading someone's story who did a great deal and sold it for a multiple of X, blah, 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 doesn't necessarily mean you can do the same. I'm not saying you can't get the upside, but it's all very unique to that journey, because the M&A story and the journey, and for you as a business owner, often when I speak with clients and we explore what that exit journey is going to look like, the reliance on that business owner in many cases restricts what they can do in their exit journey, because You know, the question must be asked, are you building something that you can sell, or are you merely self-employed? Doesn't mean you don't have a business, doesn't mean you don't have people around you. But if you can't sell your business without you, then what is it that you actually building? And in many cases, it could be a services and an IP-driven business, and that's okay. But in your exit strategy, you probably need to give yourself more time, because whoever comes in, assuming you're going to do an exit and they come in and buy your business, whether it's a piece of it or the whole business, they're going to lock you in for a period of time. So what does that mean? And how do you give them comfort that the business is actually less reliant on you than they may assume from day one? And we've got some great examples, in fact, on recent deals that we've done where the founder had not only found a great successor, but they'd collectively codified, you know, a large part of their business, which really, you know, unpacked the secret herbs and spices, if you like, for anybody coming in to get comfort that it's, you know, that codification carries a lot of value and operates independently of those original founders. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about on this podcast, this is one example, is how you need to reframe. And we've all read lots of business books, and there's business books behind me, and each week I'll probably change them a little bit, but they're themes. And a lot of the time it's about different perspectives and different learnings and different insights. And that's the way you've got to approach it, because your journey and your consideration for this exit critical path, if you like, needs to be thought of proactively. And sometimes taking a step back from your business and understanding that there are two parts to this exit journey. The one is your business, and obviously that's a large theme here. But the other side is you, the business owner, you know, the qualitative elements, if you like, about what's really important around an exit journey. And ironically, most of the opportunities and challenges, you know, through your exit are going to be more about you than the business itself, because the business elements can be prepared for, they can be focused on, they can be measured. But the emotional journey that you're going to go through, understanding what your non-negotiables are, what's important and what isn't important, is quite tough. Because if I were to ask a client today, you know, what are your non-negotiables? There's going to be a handful of elements, whatever those may be. I'm only prepared to stick around for 6 months. I want my people to be okay. And I want to get all my money on day one. And I don't want to work with anybody from the Far East, as an example, because the cultural change is going to be too great. And is a set of non-negotiables that may be applicable or not. As you start embarking on this journey, those will evolve. Because I think the only way you start truly understanding what non-negotiables are is to really understand what's happening in the market. And the way to understand what's happening in the market is to get insights and market research and market intelligence, having conversations, not with an advisor or expert, let's just call them that, although that's an important part of it. Also understanding from the horse's mouth, what is it that buyers are looking for? What are the market trends and dynamics out there? And how do you future-proof your growth trajectory, you know, through this journey? So, you know, we've had a recent transaction where on paper, it was probably one of our best performing businesses ever. The growth has been incredible over the last 20 years. The EBITDA and profit levels have been amazing. The cash generation has been incredible, but the market struggled to put a value on the table that made sense. And in fact, you know, it didn't make sense for the business owners to actually sell, because the monetary value of selling versus the benefits that they would take over the next couple of years didn't weigh up. So just quite an easy formula, and very disappointing, because I think as a business owner, you think, well, I've spent all this time building this incredible value. This business spits out cash and profit, but why isn't anybody, you know, prepared to pay me what I think it's worth? And that comes down to risk. And in that example, it was concentration risk and reliance on the buyers and potentially some limitations in the technology, because it was very relevant to this part of the world. It by no means defined the attractiveness of the business, whether it was good or bad, or, you know, whether it was going to deliver financially for our clients. It was just the market insight and perception. The way they viewed value and what they were prepared to pay was very different from a business owner's perspective when you played it out. Now, had we been able to start working with the clients a couple of years earlier, you know, we probably could have started mapping out an exit process and an exit journey, if you like, a blueprint that factored into some of those elements that could affect the attractiveness. And that would have made some of the large international players in the space look at this opportunity very differently. And that's the power of time. You know, I was working on something the other day for a blog, if you like, that's going to dovetail from this. And the one thing I came up with, which was really critical, and you may have heard it before, was in this game, if you like, in the M&A space, and more importantly, your exit journey, clarity is a true currency. And clarity is one of those interventions, if you like, that we apply through the entire journey, because without clarity, it's very difficult to hit your goals and hit your objectives. And in many cases, that clarity is giving you an insight into what not to do, because it'll feed a strategy around what are those elements that are going to move the needle, if you like. And I think as entrepreneurs, we often fall into the trap of, you know, the next shiny thing or an opportunistic investment that could generate a whole lot more cash or returns or whatever it may be, but it doesn't necessarily feed that true north of what your exit strategy needs to look like. So I'm not saying it's a bad call or a good call. It was more around that ability to measure against something. And that something is, how does the market see your business? You know, those clients that we've worked with over the years, my partner and I, have often said to us when we do the work and we, you know, play their business back to them from the perspective of the market, it's quite an aha moment because it's packaged very differently. You know, we're so used to doing our marketing brochures and customer-facing interventions and product designs and launches and marketing and the likes, whereas the customer who is the market is very different to a customer that you're going to sell your product and service to. And I think that's an important step, because what is it that they look for? What is that customer's needs? And how does their own journey of that buyer's business, if you like, impact, you know, what they're looking for and what they're prepared to pay for and the value? So yeah, it's a much bigger discussion. And I find it fascinating how many business owners, when it comes time to exit, almost want to take the path of least resistance and not invest behind what this journey needs to look like and applying the requisite resources and insights and taking the right amount of time to do this properly. Because unfortunately, you know, there'll be one or two stories I'm sure that you've heard of where the business owner exited really well. And there will be 20 stories where a business owner didn't exit well. And there's all the horror stories about how business owners are, you know, I have unfortunately had to leave a legacy that is damaged and the acquirer was not what they were made out to be. And that's devastating for us, because I think a big part of the journey for us as a guide, if you like, when we walk with clients, you know, through this journey is the privilege of being trusted with that legacy. And that's not meant to come across as a kumbaya statement, if you like, but more so around it's you get one shot. And, you know, when I started Deal Leaders, it was back in the day pre-COVID, where there was a lot of face-to-face interactions and we needed a small masterclass handbook, if you like. And I wrote this small book, ironically, over a weekend called One Shot. And it was really, yeah, a kind of no fuss insight into if you were going to embark on what an exit journey looks like. This is what it looks like. And these are the things you need to consider and what to look out for on the steps. And ironically, nearly 9 years later, it's still a very relevant piece of work that I did and proud to share and happy to share it if you reach out to me. But I think, you know, from that perspective, you also realize that it's takes hard work. There's proper insights that are needed and it's something that takes time. And I think the ability to have even that as a starting point and a little bit of a blueprint is meaningful and valuable, hopefully, to some of you on this video or this podcast. But I think what is important is that we keep rewriting that book. We keep rewriting excerpts and updating it based on actual experience and insights. And I think to give you comfort that, yes, you may read that book or there's lots of literature out there and insights and case studies that are very valuable, you know, that will add value. But just to kind of give you comfort that your book, hopefully, if you haven't started, it starts today and it's a blank journal that you're going to start writing in and hopefully taking some meaningful notes out of some of the conversations and insights we have on this podcast. So the journey is an interesting one, but I think it comes down to probably one of the most important pillars, and that's around preparation. So you'll see as we have a number of conversations, a lot of it's going to come around and focus on exit readiness and what does that mean and what does that look like and being prepared. Because, you know, we did an exercise. We've spoken to thousands of business owners over the years and we're fortunate enough to keep in contact with them and track their progress and check in every now and again. And it's very interesting because those business owners that we don't, you know, take to market or start working with, we have a number of reasons unpacking, you know, what is that? And maybe they could be too small from where they want to be. They're not ready yet. You know, timing is a key thing. And it always comes down to this variable of time. time combined with energy, if you like. And there is always this future event. There's always a future event, and there's always some form of justification, because we all know what it's like. I've been on the receiving end. So when you speak to an advisor and they say, you know, are you ready? And they say, well, no, I'm not, because I just want to secure this next customer, or I just want to put in a new system. And we've heard it all. And in many cases, it may be valid. But in most cases, there's something that underpins those reasons, some psychological qualitative element, as I mentioned earlier, that is potentially holding you back, because it's a huge step. And it's a tough one to take, because for most business owners, and I know the majority of our clients, is they haven't sold a business before. They haven't walked this journey. And if they have, they may have had a bad experience. So, you know, there's that uncertainty that is very, very difficult. And I think the power, if you like, and the empowerment to you as a business owner is looking at M&A, whether it's an exit or whether it's buying something along the way, you know, to start investigating and understanding what does this exit journey look like and how does it actually show up? Because I think that hopefully starts preparing you mentally and psychologically for the journey, and hopefully remove some of the fear. Because I think, as we know in all media, if you like, these days, and information, that generally the negative stuff flies a lot more aggressively than the good news and the good stories. And I'm really going to strive in this podcast to balance the views and make sure that there is both sides of the coin are presented, but more importantly, to give you insights and the confidence and courage to be able to do it well and do it properly. Because I think in many cases, we always talk about hope. I hope it works out well. I hope the market sees my business for what it is. But, you know, my team always tell you, always, and it's been quoted by many over the years, that hope isn't a strategy. And yes, there's always going to be a degree of the uncontrollable, but the more prepared you can be, the better. And, you know, if we play back my example where you've been doing this 5, 10, 20 years, let's just take 20 years as that example, and you play it back, why would you spend 15 years, 18 years, 19 years, 20 years, if you like, building the business, but then exiting after one, because you want to get out of this quickly? You know, if you've taken 10 or 15 or 20 years to build something, you know, give it enough time to exit it well. You know, it's one of those things where if you're an artist and you get given this clean canvas and you work on this incredible landscape, and you're right at the end, just as you're about to maybe take it to market or sell it, you change your mind and you just said, oh, well, let me just, I'll put it in the cupboard and see what happens, or I'll just sell it to the first person I can. I'm not going to worry about the gallery I use or which agent I use. Let me just see. I'm sure someone out there will hear about it, and someone in New York, I'm sure, will be aware of me as the Johannesburg artist, and I'm sure I'll get a huge amount of money for it. And maybe quite a random example, but it's one of those situations where just because you do something great and you create an amazing business, or in my analogy, a great piece of art, doesn't mean the market knows about it, doesn't mean that the market is aware of it. And you know, in many cases, the market may not even be aware that there's a great artist in South Africa. You know, I think obviously it's a very simple example, but there's so many layers to this thing. And I think the more you know, the more prepared you are, the better. But I think part of the challenge is, it's, as I mentioned earlier, you can read thousands of books, read lots of articles, listen to lots of podcasts like this, but, you know, everyone else's journey may give you confidence and insights to, you know, to take some learnings out of their own journey, but your journey is going to be unique. And I think that's why when we work with a lot of business owners and private equity firms, in fact, with their exits as well, it's not only about the assessment and the readiness and understanding what makes it all tick. It's all about, okay, where to from here? What are the next steps we've got to take? What is that blueprint, and what is the program we've got to follow? Because it's really easy, even more so now probably with AI, where you can get this great plan, great insights, all the shoulds and woulds and coulds. But it's the how do we do it, and what do we do today, and what do we do each day in this journey, you know, that we embarking on. So yeah, you probably would have found this first episode a little bit all over the place, and I hope you bear with me, because I think a lot of it is about the stories, a lot of it is about the insights, but the structure will unfold. I think what is key for this is M&A, and be it an exit at some stage or buying along the way, whatever it may be, is a critical part of every business owner's journey, and it's something that needs to be embraced and understood fully, versus it being this almost this grudge intervention at the end of what was hopefully a really, really good journey. There I did it as well. I said, hopefully, mustn't be hopefully. It must be a good journey, and the exit must be reflective of what that journey looked like. So yeah, I hope you got some value out of this. I think the next episode, and you'll see in the flow, we're going to start tackling some real issues. But I'm keen to get your views, because I think a lot of what I'm hoping to achieve in this podcast is based on what you're feeling out there. And drop me a note, drop some questions, some insights, some learnings, and always good to share those and chat about those, because if we can make it real and are a bit more interactive, it would be great. And it also have an impact on the guests that we can, we can get to the table, because I think it's also about dealing with real issues with, real individuals, not the super sexy, only the super sexy hyper successful players out there that, have done it. And in your own mind, you just think it's a bridge too far. So sometimes we do need to take those learnings and apply them to us. But I'm hoping that this journey we're taking together can help me bridge those gaps and maybe retranslate or refine or recalibrate, if you like, some of those learnings and insights and apply them to your situation. So thank you. I've taken up some of your time, and I know time is money, but I'm hoping it's time well spent. And yeah, I look forward to chatting to you again in our next episode.